And welcome. Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. On today's program, we're going to be featuring the work of Pema Chodron. And I thought this would be a good share because coming up next week is International Working Women's Day, and it's always good to honor the work of women. The official day is March 8th. But also we're living in a time of really unification of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And in that way, we can start to weave in the wisdom of both into the wholeness of who we are. And I think that Pema Chodron is really a good example of this weaving and the wholeness of being. Pema Chodron was born Deidre Blomfield Brown in 1936 in New York City. She attended Miss Porter School in Connecticut and graduated from the University of California at Berkeley. She taught as an elementary school teacher for many years in both New Mexico and California. Pema has two children and three grandchildren. While in her mid-30s, Pema traveled to the French Alps and encountered Lama Chime Rinpoche, with whom she studied for several years. She became a novice nun in 1974 while studying with Lama Chime in London. His Holiness, the 16th Kamapa, came to England at that time, and Pema received her ordination from him. Pema first met her root teacher, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, in 1972. Lama Chime encouraged her work with Rinpoche, and it was with him that she ultimately made her most profound connection, studying with him from 1974 until his death in 1987. At the request of the 16th Karmapa, she received the full monastic ordination in the Chinese lineage of Buddhism in 1981 in Hong Kong. Pema served as a director of Karma Zong in Boulder until moving in 1984 to rural Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, to be the director of Gampo Abbey. So we'll read more about Pema Chodron as we go on with the program. But first, I want to share with you a brief segment from one of her talks in which she talks about non-meditating. And we'll be back in a moment right after this segment.
So I want to say something about not meditating or non-meditation. The trouble is that now that I've called it something, I've ruined the whole thing. It's really true. Trungpa Rinpoche used to say, okay, now we're going to meditate. Everyone take good posture. Be aware of your breath going out. Coming in, going out. Just awareness, open awareness of your breath. And we do that for, you know, maybe 20 minutes or something, and then he'd say, the only real meditation you did in that whole period was when I hit the gong at the end. And it's often so true, you know, everybody sort of gets into position, earnestly tries to be there with their breath and struggle, because the sounds, instead of being an object of meditation, distract you. The thoughts, instead of being an object of meditation, distract you. Like, basically, for many people, there's the beginning. And it's such a pleasant sound that it lasts for a little while and then gone. Until the end. And then there's this... And that's the non-meditation. And it's easy to do it when you don't know that's what you're doing, but once you call it something, then it becomes, now I'm doing non-meditation. So really relax the mind and body fully in non-meditation for just a few seconds. And then there'll be an object of meditation, and we'll do the second type, which is the practice of placing your awareness, your natural awareness, on an object, bringing mind and body together, synchronizing mind and body, is how Trungpa Rinpoche used to call it, or bringing mind and hearing together, or bringing mind and thoughts together. Mind and emotions together. The practice of being fully present has these two aspects, non-meditation and what we could call attention practice, or we could call it the practice of open awareness, or we could call it the practice of natural wakefulness. And it has these two aspects, the non-meditation, the just at the end, the one at the end. And then you bring that open awareness, you bring that natural wakefulness, and place it on an object so that your mind and your body are in the same place, where you're not separating yourself from your body or separating yourself from your emotions or from your thoughts or from your sense perceptions. It's not like splitting yourself in two. There's a sense of being fully present, synchronized. So there's these two types of meditation, and again, talking about non-meditation, the image for this that's often used is similar to what I was suggesting we do here, which is any of us comes home at the end of a really stressful, difficult day, or just a day of we're very tired at the end of work, it might not have been stressful, and there's just that sinking back into a chair or flopping back on the bed, or maybe you take a shower and then you just... So it's that letting go, your mind isn't occupied with anything, you're just relaxed completely. And it's usually just brief, but it's completely relaxing. And it's sometimes referred to as child mind because of children, little ones, they look at things like that. And they hear things like that. Can you remember what it was like as a kid, like sitting under a bush and how that smelled, or going to your grandmother's and how she smelled, or how the room smelled, or how something on her table smelled, or what something looked like, some little thing that somebody in your childhood would show you. The traditional image is of a child going to a museum and not having a clue, you know, that it's a Picasso or a Renoir, not a clue, you know, but they just look with this kind of open awareness. If they're really little, they hardly even know what they're looking at, but they're open to the colors and shapes. So these are all images of just non-meditation.
Listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is PRN.FM, and I'm Catherine Davis, and we've been listening to, and we'll continue to listen to some excerpts of Pema Chodron. And Pema Chodron is a Buddhist monk, and she currently teaches in the United States and Canada and plans for an increased amount of time in solitary retreat under the guidance of Venerable Zigar Khantrul Rinpoche. Pema is interested in helping establish the monastic tradition in the West, as well as continuing her work with Buddhists of all traditions, sharing ideas and teachings. She has written several books, including The Wisdom of No Escape, Start Where You Are, When Things Fall Apart, The Places That Scare You, No Time to Lose, and Practicing Peace in Times of War, and most recently, Smile at Fear. And we heard a segment first on non-meditating, and now we're going to hear a segment from Pema Chodron on why we should meditate. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Myself and many like me who have been meditating for, you know, well over 20 years, sometimes we do this for a very long time and we really don't have any idea why we're doing it. So one of the most commonly asked questions of the meditator in the middle of a difficult sitting period is, why am I doing this? So really, I'd like to give a talk on why we meditate. First of all, we do not meditate in order to be comfortable, which is to say, we don't meditate in order to feel good. I hope shock waves are passing through the hall. If the purpose of meditation was to feel good, most of us would feel we were doing it wrong most of the time. The purpose of meditation is not to feel bad, however, you'll be glad to know. But really to have an open, compassionate attentiveness to whatever is going on. So an image that's often used is like a big sky, just allowing a lot of room for anything to arise and dwell and pass away. Good and comfortable and pleasing and difficult and painful and unwanted, all of this. So the essence of the meditation is training in something that is pretty radical and definitely not the habitual pattern of the species. And that is to stay with ourselves no matter what is happening, without putting on top of it labels of good and bad, right and wrong, pure and impure. So if meditation was about just feeling good, I think all of us secretly hope that is what it's about. And therefore, a very common experience of the meditator is in a typical day, you know, or a typical retreat, when you're feeling bored, restless, when your back is hurting, your knees are hurting, your mind is hurting, you feel like you must be doing it wrong because it's such a difficult experience. So I think that's the main thing, to get through your head. Get it through your head that it's not about feeling good. It's about a compassionate openness or a kind of ability to be with oneself and one's situation through all kinds of experience. So it's sort of whatever life presents you with, you're open to that. And this is pretty radical. This is common to all Buddhist meditations. It's about touching the earth, as I say, or coming back to being right here. And I think that's also common to various other kinds of meditation as well. But certainly not common to all meditations, because there are also other kinds which you may prefer, which are more about achieving special states and somehow transcending or rising above the difficulties of life. But this meditation that we're doing, and the whole approach in terms of widening the circle of compassion, is an openness of the heart and mind to the difficulties and the joys of life, just as it is right now in this very moment. Just to make it maybe easier to remember, I'm going to talk about five qualities that are, over the months and years, as we meditate, qualities that are being nurtured and come forth more and more as we meditate. And so when you ask, why are we meditating? The first quality, what we're doing when we meditate, is to cultivate or nurture steadfastness with ourselves. I was talking to someone about this, and they said, is that sort of like loyalty? And in a way, it is like loyalty to oneself. And actually, it's steadfastness with oneself, which translates immediately into steadfastness or loyalty to one's experience of life as one finds it. So let me talk a little bit about this first quality of steadfastness, because I think it's so important. It means that you sit down to meditate and you experience what's happening in that moment, which could be speed, mind just going 100 miles an hour, body twitching, bumping, and, you know, very like that. That's it. That's what you experience. And sometimes you can sit there for an hour and it doesn't get any better. So then you'd say, bad meditation session. Right? That's what we say, right? I just had a bad meditation session. But the willingness to sit there for the 10 minutes, the 15 minutes, the 20 minutes, the half hour, the hour, however long you sat there, that is a compassionate gesture of developing loyalty to oneself or steadfastness with oneself. Do you see what I mean? You're sitting there, your mind is going wild, you're very speedy, You know, if you reflect on it, you say, yeah, this is a bad meditation experience, or I didn't chill out the way I thought I would. And so we lay a lot of labels, opinions, and judgments on top of what's happening. Well, that's why you just let those thoughts go and you're just there. I mean, that's why the training is to do that. So in a way, part of the steadfastness is that when you notice that your mind is going a million miles an hour and you're thinking about all kinds of things, there is this uncontrived moment that just happens without any effort of just coming back. And at that moment, if you catch that, then you say thinking and you're just right there. So, you know, people love to tell the story of they sit down with this dedication to do the practice, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere comes, and they've been thinking the entire time. But at that moment, you catch yourself, right? So one out of, you know, how many ever seconds that was is not bad. So the idea isn't at that point to say, ah, you know, I blew it. And that moment you realize that you were thinking the whole time, and that's it. There's a growing awareness of what's going on. So in one sense, it's this growing awareness. It's important when we ask why we meditate. It's this developing or nurturing, bringing out this quality of loyalty or steadfastness or perseverance, whatever word you want to use. I like to use words that have some kind of compassionate sound to them. But it really means willingness to stay. And that is very revolutionary and very unhabitual and not what we generally do at all. And so we're training in this.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis. And that was the voice of Pema Chodron. And we so far have listened to two segments. And one, the first was non-meditating. And then we heard, why should we meditate? And in a way, both of these segments are offering the same teaching. It's not that we are working towards disciplining ourselves into some focused practice, but we're allowing a self-cultivation through this process of meditation. And that is, to me, very sound counsel for all of us to allow whatever is happening, be aware of whatever is happening, and make a commitment to ourselves to continue with the process. And just as a consequence of this commitment, we can cultivate a deep understanding within ourselves. So I think that this is very sound advice indeed. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more from Pema Chodron. But first, we're going to take a break for station announcements, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
PRN, 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 Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The story behind the story. Your story. my story. It's all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Utrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell this story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
This is Bobby Elias.
And it's Dr. Sarah Larson.
Hosts of Let's Create a Better World. Our show is for your body, mind, and soul. To have the latest, greatest cultural, creative information available.
Join us with our expert guests every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific.
You can also hear our show on the phone at 619-550-0869.
And don't forget about the archives.
We're moving forward on PRN.FM.
And we want you to come with us.
Saturdays, don't forget. Every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. Let's create a better world.
This is PRN, the comprehensive news source for the world's progressive community. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and I welcome you back to this program. We are, in a manner, celebrating International Working Women's Day, which is officially March 8th. And on this day, we celebrate the lives of women. We celebrate the lives of women in all their activities, because everything can be considered the concern and the work of women, whether it's to be as a mother, whether it's to be in the workforce, to be in politics, to be in activism, or just to work towards one's own fulfillment and contribution into the world. It's important to honor ourselves and to honor each other on this day. And I felt that Pema Chodron was a really good example of someone who expresses and has expressed a real depth of life, of experience, in that she was a mother and became a grandmother, and it was not until her mid-30s that she became involved in Buddhism and learning to be, to practice more deeply that spiritual work, and she became a novice, a nun, in 1974. And then she went on to become a director of a dzong, a karma dzong in Boulder. And then, you know, she went on to write books, and she does many retreats and classes and teaches. And I feel that she is someone who has really cultivated a beautiful life with commitment and dedication and caring and giving. And she's had that fullness of experience of being the spiritual teacher, as well as being the artist and writer, as well as being the mother and grandmother. And I believe that as we listen to Pema Chodron, we can really begin to think about ourselves and our own lives. And as we're listening to her speak about meditation and moving into the moment and being aware of surroundings, aware of our feelings and accepting of them no matter what they are, it's a way for us to find our greatest potential in our own lives. And I believe that that is very much what Pema Chodron offers, the gift that she offers through her work. Now, of course, she speaks to everyone, to men, to women, to children, to everyone who is interested in following this path. And in that, I think that it's really beautiful to see a woman expressing her life as a leader of all people, as a leader of humanity. And to me, it gives me much inspiration and much hope for all of us who are working towards that place of fulfillment, but also allows us to have an appreciation for who we are and where we are at this very moment in time. And in our next clip, audio clip, we are going to hear from Pema Chodron, and she's going to be speaking about our potential is limitless. And to me, this is the essence of her teaching. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
So it has a lot to do with patience, with rawness, which could be another word for vulnerability, has a lot to developing patience, not with the clerk so much, the checkout person, although it kind of turns out that you have more patience and empathy for the checkout person and for the other people on the line. But what the patience really is with your own pain that arises, the rawness and the vulnerability, and sending some kind of warmth and love to that rawness and soreness. I think initially that's how we have to practice when these raw, vulnerable feelings inevitably come up in us. We may buy the idea of being more and more open to the inevitability of change as our life goes on. We might like that as an idea, but that doesn't mean that sometime this weekend when something rubs you the wrong way, that this rawness and pain isn't going to come up. There's one thing which is your aspiration, you might say, and there's another thing about where you currently are. And so the news we can use is what to do when the rawness and the vulnerability comes up, right? So fundamentally, there's a sense of developing the capacity to open to it, move toward it, lean into it. But I, more and more that I teach this way and live this way myself, I think it has a lot to do with right there on the spot, sending some kind of unconditional acceptance and warmth toward this pain. It sounds like, maybe that sounds a little strange, but it's the same thing as sending that unconditional kindness and warmth to yourself, rather than criticizing yourself. So, you know, there's two alternatives usually, we think, only two. One is either you attack everybody else who's causing the problem, or you attack yourself. You know, either it's their fault or it's your fault, but there is this wide open alternative, much more life-affirming, beautiful, fluid, dynamic alternative, and that is you could send warmth and acceptance and kindness towards this painful time, and then let this painful experience, this painful sensation, and then see what happens. See what happens. See what happens. See what happens. But something begins to happen because of the fact that you are joining in with your experience rather than rejecting it. And the minute you turn towards your experience, the turning towards your experience begins to point you in the direction of your mind becoming more flexible, open. Not becoming more flexible, open, and fluid, but you're uncovering the flexibility, openness, and fluidity of your mind that's here now, always. Our potential is limitless. We're not in any way this small, cut-off, sort of finite, separate individual that we perceive ourselves to be. We're part of this flow and part of the dynamic and completely interconnected, totally interconnected with our life and our and each other. And so what I'm just saying here at the end here is that when we begin to entertain the idea of being open to the inevitability of change, no matter how that might present itself in new wrinkle, gray hair, painful telephone conversation with your doctor about your tests or a loved one's tests, or however it might manifest, dent in your car, your favorite carpet, book, cup, whatever it might be, you couldn't see it changing all those years. The nanosecond experience was not available to you, but there's no question that it's chipped now or threadbare now, or, you know, it happened just the way it happens to you. Kind of catches up on you. But what I'm saying here at the end is by working with our relative facts of our lives, such as the relative fact of impermanence, that everything that comes into being will eventually pass away, that everything is an impermanent and changing, that by connecting with that level and going toward it rather than resisting it, we begin to move more into the space of the infinite, or the absolute, or the timeless. And so somehow our relative life and the finite life of being born into this particular existence with this particular body and so forth begins to be inseparable from the infinite or the absolute or the timeless. And the only way that life begins to open up that way is by working with our minds to uncover their limitless, infinite potential that goes so far beyond how we usually limit ourselves and keep things so narrow and small, all in the name of avoiding pain. And as a result of it, we never really avoid the pain. And in fact, as I've being repetitive here, but in fact our capacity to tolerate pain gets less and less. And so in other words, we experience more and more pain. So this is a talk about impermanence and death as a fact of life, but it's also a talk about the cessation of suffering and where it actually comes from. Not by avoiding, but by joining in. And it's also a talk about how wondrous it is to be a human being with our sense perceptions, which don't have to be limited, and our minds and hearts that are not limited. Our sense perceptions and our minds and hearts are not limited. And we don't have to cap our ability to love and just limit it. We don't have to cap our intelligence and being able to understand, have a sort of a natural capacity to know what heals and what harms, what escalates and what de-escalates suffering, and what escalates or increases happiness, or what caps or limits happiness. All of these capacities, our intelligence, our warmth, our openness, we have these qualities already. And I guess this is sort of a pep talk about if even three of us in this room are inspired to not avoid pain in our lives and think of it as vulnerability or tenderness or the source of strength, then our questions become how to do that. And then we find answers in all the spiritual traditions about how to do that. And meditation has been the vehicle for me and for many, many other people too in how to do this. And then life, doesn't matter how long you live, you'll never live long enough to experience as much as you could experience. And you begin to feel you're getting younger rather than older, even though your body is giving you a little trouble. But your mind is getting younger because it's such a wide open, open-ended. Open-ended used to be scary. Now open-ended is thrilling. And at the very least, interesting. So, have I made myself clear?
And that was Pema. That was Pema Chodron. And for those of you who are interested in finding out more about her work, you can access different audio programs and books from SoundsTrue.com. And at SoundsTrue.com, you can find actual free information, free downloads, free inspiration, and you'll find more about Pema as well as many, many other inspirational teachers at SoundsTrue.com. If you want to really connect to Pema's work and her inspiration, I encourage you to go to her website, PemaChodronFoundation.org, PemaChodron Foundation.org, and you can find out more about the work that she's doing in the world. And for those of you who didn't have a chance to jot down those emails, you can go to the Progressive Radio Network website, prn.fm, and look up Heart of Mind Radio, and you'll find the links there in the description. And that will be put up a little bit later after the program. So you could always follow up and find out more about the guests. And once again, I want to remind you that Pema Chodron is indeed a Buddhist monk. She has had a full and experienced life, having that experience of wife and mother, of grandmother. And then in her 30s, venturing into the spiritual world and becoming ordained as a monk. And even at that point of her ordination, because she was inspired and nurtured and really lifted by some of the fairly prominent monks in the system of Buddhist monk, she was able to really go very far. And so now she is very much interested in establishing monastic traditions in the West and continuing her work with Buddhist traditions, really of all denominations, so that everyone can become involved. And as you might have heard from her sharing, that she is very much a compassionate, loving, open-hearted being. And I certainly would recommend her books and her meditations and audio programs for those of you who are interested in following a path where you're going to be inspired, but also in that inspiration, you feel the real nurturing and wisdom of the words of Pema Chodron. And some of the books that she has right now are The Wisdom of No Escape, Start Where You Are, When Things Fall Apart, The Places That Scare You, No Time to Lose, Practicing Peace in Times of War, and Smile at Fear. So for me, those titles really do illustrate the deep wisdom that Pema Chodron brings to the table and offers all of us as a source of understanding. And certainly for me, what I get from her work is that everything is really as it should be. Everything is fine. Everything is moving along. And whatever we're experiencing is what we're meant to experience. And we have the opportunity to decide how we feel about it, how we interpret it, how we integrate and learn from our experiences. So if we can step back from judging it, whether it's sitting in meditation and feeling like you're not doing it correctly, or whether it's you're dealing with stress in your everyday life and you might feel upset or sad about something, or whether it's a moment when you feel really excited about life with the possibility of what you can do and experience in life. It's all a tapestry. And we have an opportunity as we engage in our life that we become the weaver of that tapestry, at least the co-creator of that tapestry. So we can no longer think of ourselves as victims, as falling prey to this or that misfortune, but we can engage each experience as a different color, a different texture, a different flavor, a different scent. And as we begin to see our experiences in that way, then it really does become like a tapestry or a beautiful painting. But rather than being painted with oils or watercolors, and rather than being woven with thread, we're actually creating through our experience. And when we look at it in that way, we can really see the beauty in who we are and what we're creating in the world. And when we can move into that space of beauty and admiration and acceptance and love for ourselves and for our experiences, then we become more in alignment, more in tune with our missions, with our purpose, with our just joy of being alive. And that gives us that opportunity to have that resonance of joy, of inner peace, of inner compassion, radiate beyond our beings into the tapestry of our life. And we will notice that things that caused pain will heal, and that relationships that were caused pain will either fall away or they can heal. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us to be inspired and then allow ourselves to move from inspiration from outside, from a teacher such as Pema Chodron, and become the inspiration of our own lives and our own experience. And that is what I am really hoping for all of us, and believing is possible for all of us, to have a joyful experience, a joyful life, one of self-acceptance, one of healing and transmuting the old and giving birth to the new. So I really do enjoy programs such as this when I can share something with you. And I will invite you to Get engaged in your own way. And for those of you who would like to connect with this show or with myself, you can email me, Catherine Davis is my name, and the email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I also have a Facebook page, normal Facebook, but also a number of pages connected to the Facebook. And we have a spiritual support group that's just being revitalized, and we have put together a page for the spiritual support group on Facebook. And for those of you who are interested in attending, we have an event coming. It's the third Wednesday of the month. We'll be adding to the schedule as the weather gets a little bit warmer. The next meeting will be on the 16th of March coming up at the Commons, Brooklyn, 388 Atlantic Avenue. And we're in the second floor library, and we do some hands-on healing, meditation, and discussion so that there can be a lot more back and forth. I invite you to participate and attend that. For those of you who are interested in doing Qigong classes, I offer that as well. But you can really find out all of this on the Heart of Mind page, Heart of Mind Radio page at the Progressive Radio Network. You could click on to all those connections that you will be able to reach the work that we're doing here at Heart of Mind. You could also call 347-480-1694, 347-480-1694, or again, you can email heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to connect with the audio, spiritual audio, go to soundstrue.com. And with Pema Chodron, it's PemaChodronFoundation.org. And all these connections will be on the website of the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, at the Heart of Mind Radio page. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I wish you the best for the weekend. Stay tuned for the Progressive Radio Network's offering of incredible programming all day long. So stay tuned here to PRN.FM, and I'll join you again next Friday. Take care.